Is this normal? It's probably nothing serious. Maybe I'll feel better tomorrow.
Emergency symptoms can be good at hiding. That's why you shouldn't ignore symptoms like chest pain, high fever, trouble breathing, or severe stomach pain. They could be a medical emergency in disguise. Thankfully, an Eastside ER is ready to serve you 24/7 with fast wait times and dedicated ER experts so we can quickly help turn your questions into answers. Visit eastsidemedical.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio is cared for by Eastside Medical Center, providing quality care to Gwinnett County and the greater Atlanta area for over 38 years.
And hello again, everybody. This is not Mike Salmon. Nope, this is Stephen Julian, normally the slightly annoying co-host, but today I get to be in the captain's chair. So that means I needed a great co-host, and there was only one person I thought of calling, and that was Duffy Dixon. Hello there, Duffy.
Hello. I'm happy you didn't call me slightly annoying.
No, I'm the slightly annoying
so
one.
So you'll still be slightly annoying.
Oh, this is good. When I'm in the captain's chair, I'll probably be even more annoying.
Oh, because no one's going to keep you in check. I'll try to do that.
And I know you can do that, and I apologize ahead of time for anything I do to screw up the show. We are excited today. Today is Eastside Medical Day, right?
That's right. We're going to check in with Eastside Medical Center once a month, and we're really excited. This is the first show we're doing, and this is a good topic. This is timely. February is American Heart Month, and basically that's a time when you want to talk about everything that has to do with your heart, you know, statistics, what you should be doing for your own health, and we have some very distinguished guests with us.
Are you going to read their names distinguishedly?
I am. I love that the administrator, we have an administrator, and he's already pointing to the doctors. I don't answer doctor questions. He's already saying that. So first off, Dr. Michael Lipsett, he is a cardiologist at Eastside Heart and Vascular. We also have Dr. Marcus Sims. He is a cardiologist and also the cath lab director. And sitting in the middle in the hot seat is Eric Wheeler. He is the administrative director of cardiovascular services at Eastside Medical Center. And we already told you, sorry, we're going to put you on the spot
I'm first.
You're first. So you have, is it six cardiologists? Tell us about the heart and cardiovascular.
So this is a great opportunity for us. We have Eastside Heart and Vascular, which is affiliated with Eastside Medical Center. And these physicians are fabulous. They're specializing in cardiology and electrophysiology. And we provide to the community a great service of doing diagnostic as well as interventional cardiology. And the vital piece to this are our physicians and our staff. Without this group here in the staff that's highly talented and skilled, we really do a great thing, whether it's diagnostic or procedural.
I like it. Dr. Sims, I'm going to bring you in and just kind of ask as far as the spectrum of the different type of services, because when someone says cardiac care or cardiology, that's a lot of stuff.
Right.
So kind of talk about the spectrum of what you guys do.
Well, you know, like you said, we have a spectrum of things that we do. A lot of times people come to us basically because they may have had a family member that just passed away and they want to get checked out. They want to get their cholesterol checked or get an EKG performed. Or you have people, you know, who are having symptoms, or because it's Heart Healthy Month and, you know, we're quite aware of, you know, 1 in 4 women having heart disease, that they want to get checked out as well. So they'll come in, maybe they're symptomatic, not symptomatic. We can do an ultrasound, stress test, and if those are abnormal, we can do further testing at the hospital with a heart catheterization, or, you know, we also, if people are feeling run down, have fatigue and weakness with that EKG, they may have some heart block, and they may need a pacemaker. So those are kind of some of the things that we do.
Dr. Lipsett, you've been doing a practice in Gwinnett County forever. Am I right in saying that there is so much more emphasis now on testing before there's a problem? There's so much more in diagnostic care than ever before.
Absolutely. As much as we love being the heroes in the middle of the night, we're much happier doing preventative cardiology and getting people tested before they have a cardiac event. So that's been a focus of our practice.
And you can literally do tests where you can see if there's blockage, and is beforehand, would you have to get in there before you could see those kind of things actually operate?
Well, we have non-invasive tests, which are suggestive of problems, and then we go on to definitive tests, which is catheterization. So when we started practice in 1982, we didn't have those services in Gwinnett County. We had to travel 25 miles one way to do our procedures. But now we're happy to say that we have brought those services, for the most part, to Gwinnett County.
And I think when a lot of people, and Dr. Sims or Dr. Lipset, either or both of you can comment on this, I think the first thing most people think about is going to see their primary care physician, getting a checkup. And you guys kind of talked about, so we're talking about kind of pre-screening. Should everyone be doing some kind of pre-screening at some point, or what are some of the guidelines you would give to the general population that they can kind of file away and go, well, the doctor said it, so I better listen to him?
Yeah. So yeah, we talked to about 60 women up at Eastside a couple of weeks ago, and I normally tell people you probably at about 30 need to get your cholesterol checked, get an EKG performed. If you have some more risk factors, then we may do further testing. A lot of men and women, in their late 40s and 50s are starting to get these calcium score screenings because they're relatively cheap, maybe about $150. So if you have increased calcium, in your coronaries, then that kind of would put you at higher risk of having an event. So then we could go get the EKG, get the cholesterol, ask you, about your history, and then go from there.
And I think some people get confused, and we're certainly not going to dig into the topic of health insurance here today, but I think the way things are changing in health insurance, we're needing to become better consumers of our health care, right? And so asking questions like, what can I do and what is this going to cost? And some of these preventive things, doesn't matter what your health insurance is, you can afford to get these tests done, whether you have insurance or not, or who your insurance is. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's pretty much correct. I'm sorry. This morning I had to download Spotify because I got a new surround sound system at the house, and it's $10 a month, so it's about $150, for the year. And I was upset instead of, having free Pandora or something like that. But if you look at it, that calcium score CT that I was telling you about is $150. And that way you have some peace of mind, at least about your health, versus me being concerned about having Spotify or Pandora.
So let me chime in for a second on this topic. I'm actually working with our radiology department now to get our calcium, our CT calcium score ramped up. So it's going to be a little bit cheaper than $150. It's going to be the $100 range.
Nice.
Yes, sir. So it's
Duffy, we got a scoop.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All of our listeners are going to save some money.
So coronary disease is the number one killer of men over 45 in this country. So we think testing should be done, as Marcus said, in your 30s, start to look at your cholesterol, look at your risk factors, family history. And then it's number one in women by age 65. And it was thought for a long time, breast cancer, hip fractures, but coronary disease is actually the most common cause of death after 65. So everybody should be screened for heart disease at some point.
Now, I've heard, and tell me if this is true or not, that the symptoms of heart problems are sometimes different between men and women. And for many years, I've heard for men, tingling and shortness of breath and everything. Are there different symptoms for women?
So in women, the symptoms can be atypical, something as simple as breathlessness with effort, rather than the classic Levine sign, which is a fist sort of feeling in the center of your chest. And people often come to the hospital if their left arm hurts rather than their right arm, but it's actually 50-50. It could be either arm. So that nerve distribution of the sixth spinal root in your thorax is spans the whole chest. But just things as simple as Marcus said earlier, just a feeling of weakness could be related to the heart. So everybody should be screened.
And once you find out that there is maybe a chance that they could develop heart problems, are there steps people can take besides having to have some sort of surgery? Is there a time factor here that you could reverse some of the damage or at least limit it?
Well, you want to improve all the risk factors you can. The first 10 things are cigarette smoking, which is, I always say, about half of our business over the decades. And that's something everybody should refrain from. Then diabetes, cholesterol, exercise, stress.
Leafy green vegetables?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean,
I only know that because my husband just got the diagnosis for more leafy green vegetables. I'm eating a lot of spinach, I got to say.
Yeah, well, once you get past the Mason-Dixon line, everything's out the door.
That's right. They didn't say
with
it couldn't fry it.
With the barbecue and the fried food, right? Yeah,
I like fried lettuce. I don't know what the problem is. We're talking with Dr. Michael Lipset and Dr. Marcus Sims and Eric Wheeler. They're all with cardiovascular services at Eastside Medical Center. Eric, I think this question might be for you, but obviously the doctors can chime in as well. You've already given us a scoop of possibly looking to lower some of the costs of some of the tests and some of the things, preventive screenings. Talk a little bit about technology. Talk a little bit about the advances of technology and improvements in patient care that are happening at Eastside.
So our most recent advancement in technology has been the installation of a new electrophysiology lab. And in the I have to say we've had an excellent support from our administration with collaboration with Eastside Heart and Vascular, specifically Dr. Sharma, who is their electrophysiologist on staff. The collaboration to invest into this technology of having a hybrid room, so it's a biplane technology in the procedure room. So we're not only able to look at one dimension X-ray during the procedure, but we can look at it from two angles at the same time. So by increasing the number of angles, we're able to, and please, gentlemen, chime in, we're able to get a more finite positioning for our catheters and our electrodes during placement, especially of the electrical wiring.
Yeah, we can lower the radiation dose that goes to your body by having the biplane. So that's two cameras instead of one, and then decrease the time that you're in the procedure,
And we're also fortunate that Eastside has recruited a very talented group of cath lab workers, assistants, and techs that have helped us. Most of them have been in the business for more than 10 years, and that really makes everything very easy and familiar for us to work with people that are trained.
Yeah, shout out to the cath lab staff.
There you go.
It doesn't hurt that you're in charge of them, right?
Right.
I saw that tie-in. When it comes to being a doctor and what you decide to major in, I guess, when you're in school or once you've done your rotation, I guess I want to know what, Dr. Lipsett, we'll start with you. What got you interested in heart health?
Well, I trained in the Emory system, and Jay Willis Hurst was the head of the program, and he was Lyndon Johnson's cardiologist, and he also wrote The Heart, which was the textbook in cardiology at the time. So it was really very well-known program, and they do a good job of training. They have a large number of fellows in training, and so that's what started us in cardiology.
Yeah,
for you,
For me, I'm a Decatur Stone Mountain boy, and my dad is from Scottsdale, Georgia, but he was in the Air Force for 22 years, and basically after fighting in Vietnam and Korea, virus attacked his heart, and so when he retired in 79, we came back here. And, my dad used to take the red pill, blue pill, green pill, whatever the doctor told him. And he saw Dick Corrale, who also went to Emory with Michael Lipsett and Underman. But once I started going to the clinic with him, I just wanted to know more about cardiology. So by the time I went to school in Charlotte, I was shadowing some cardiologists, not thinking that's what I wanted to do. But after my dad died from cardiac arrest, that's kind of when I decided to do cardiology.
As many advances as there have been, and we talked about, I remember when I was little hearing about one of the first heart transplants. I mean, that was a big deal, or open heart surgery. With all the technology we have now, what is on the horizon? What are the capabilities? What's coming up? And could we eliminate, you can never eliminate all of everything, but could we eliminate heart disease? Could we eliminate or at least reduce these? What's on the horizon?
Well, the newer drugs that treat cholesterol that are going to replace statins have just started to come online. There's a drug that is an injection every 2 weeks that'll lower your cholesterol that is available for people that can't take statins if they already have coronary disease. And then along in the future is going to be another drug that blocks the degradation of the good cholesterol, the HDL. So it'll make your HDL 100, and we're thinking that'll allow a little Pac-Man in your arteries just to clean up all the plaque, and that'll make us unnecessary, so we hope we get to retirement age before that happens, but we're looking forward to it.
Note to self, make the commercial, have little Pac-Mans going through your arteries. Yeah. I love it. That makes me happy.
You can now retire because they'll use that ad trademark it right now. It's trademarked on business. It's on record.
That's right.
Here in early 2019.
Well, Dr. Lipsett lives up Lake Lanier, and I was thinking he could just drop it in the lake, and then we'd all get a dose every day.
I like that. I boat up there. I'll take some.
I love that. We've kind of gone from talking about pre-care. We've talked about what's in the future. Eric, I want to kind of ask you, as the administrative director, how do you keep all these doctors in check? Is your job to kind of keep them entertained, make sure they, you know?
What's your next question, sir?
Next question.
What's it like to be a director of these great people doing great things and saving lives all the time?
Having this partnership with Eastside Heart and Vascular, it's new to me since I'm new to the area, and it's great to have an affiliate who's really vested not only in their community but also in what we're really doing at the hospital as well. It's great to get the buy-in. It's great to have that communication, that collaboration, working with each other. Hospitals always have their initiative. Private practices always have their initiative, but now we come together and we can both have work with each other and say, hey, I'm thinking about this, or have you looked into this? I think this would really be great for the community. How can we better serve our patients? This is what I'm seeing in clinic. How can we facilitate that into the facility, into the hospital?
It's a big job because you're talking about one of the big advances being this new lab, but by the same token, you also have to oversee the patient care. It's all these things coming together. Yeah, we always need to be on the cutting edge of R&D, but we also got to make sure and take care of each individual that comes in, no matter what they're getting taken care of, whether it's a surgery or just a pre-screening. When you guys first started the partnership with us, one of the very first things that blew me away was on the website, it gives waiting time at the ER, which I thought, what a small step, but what a cool step for somebody to kind of go, oh, well, it's there. They can see me right now. It's time to go in. So clearly you guys are kind of thinking outside the box and trying to be, partnering. So hats off to all of you for the way you're doing that. So you announced, obviously, the new lab. And Duffy kind of asked about what's in the future. And you've already given us a scoop on lowering costs of pretest. Right. Dare I ask, what's the next big project or build or anything? I'm looking for scoops.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. So, like I said, I'm brand new. Yeah, this is my fifth week. As soon as I got
make
here,
a mark. Come on,
Dr. Sims,
break
Dr.
Him in,
Unterman,
boys.
They both got on me and they said, hey, we want to push for vascular. So starting to do some vascular procedures, that's in the extreme near future.
So the procedures that you currently haven't been able to do at Eastside, is that
correct?
Is that okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Tell us some of that. What does that mean?
Well, apparently he can't
procedures.
Say exactly what it is, Duffy.
Yeah.
I pushed. So now you're pushing it. See, you'll tell Duffy. She's nice.
No, doctor. One of the doctors is going to answer me, aren't you?
Yeah, so yeah. I'll answer it for you. So, like I said, once you get past the Mason-Dixon line, you're at increased risk, but diabetics and patients who smoke cigarettes end up getting claudication, which is pain in your lower extremities. And so we can do some ultrasound imaging or MRI or CT that would show that you have blockages. But the step after that would be basically to, medically manage you and try to treat the symptoms and get you to walk 30, 60 minutes a day so that your body can actually make what we call collaterals or natural bypasses to your lower extremities. And if that doesn't work, then we can take you to the lab and see where the significant blockage is and take care of that, whether it's going in with a kind of a Roto-Rooter atherectomy device to clean that out and then put a stent in, or just use a balloon and get better flow to your lower extremity. Because a lot of times, that one little focal area that has a blockage because you smoked cigarettes for 20 years and you did it because your granddaddy did it and your grandmother did it, and nobody really educated you on cigarettes causing blockages in your lower extremities. We want to push that envelope because we're seeing people with heart disease, but they also have peripheral vascular disease. And so we've been on Eric and Trent and administration to say, hey, this is the next area that we want to go into, and so let's push the envelope.
Like it.
Are there better numbers when it comes to people who are surviving heart events? I mean, it used to be a death sentence. Are those numbers improving? And I'm sure there are plenty of stages of where that's a problem or where that becomes a real heart event.
One of the things I think Dr. Sims probably pointed out to these 60 women, heart disease sequelae you're referring to have steadily decreased in men, but not over this time in women. So that's an area that we really want to work on.
Yeah. And we're also, pushing, since Eric is new, there's this big push on door-to-balloon time. And there's actually, I got a text with the EKG from the hospital, and Dr. Lips is on call, but it's a false alarm. But so door to balloon time just means when you hit the door, we have 90 minutes to get your blood vessel open.
Wow.
And probably when LBJ was around or when Dr. Lipset was around at Emory back in the day, you know, patients stayed in the hospital 2, 3, 4 weeks after MI because we didn't have the stents. We just had balloons. And so if we can get that door to balloon time down, or from first time of access from EMS with the EKG just texting me on my phone, then less heart cells die. And similar to stroke, you know, the brain is more or less forgiving than the heart, but if we can get to you as fast as we possibly can. So if I have this and I call Eric and say, hey, there's a STEMI coming in by Gwinnett EMS, let's get the cath lab team ready. Forget going to the ER so they can check the box. Let's just get them in the lab, and the patients do better. So
I like it.
So time is still of the essence. Cutting down that time.
Oh, right. Yes, so national standard is to have that blockage fixed within 90 minutes. And HCA, our parent company of Eastside, our goal is 60 minutes. And so we're doing everything we can to ensure that we're improving the process, cutting down the middlemen, cutting out those minutes and getting these patients straight to the table, getting that artery opened up, like Dr. Sims said, and replenishing oxygenated blood to that area.
Dr. Lipset, it's been brought up subtly and quite bluntly that you've been practicing medicine for a little while.
That means he's the professional at the table. I would just like to take up for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've done everything but use the word emeritus with you. So I would like to ask, in the years you've been practicing, can you pick out one change that has been the most drastic, the most amazing, or the most just how far we've advanced in this particular part of vascular care?
Sure. Well, I think we've outlined a little bit this morning. The change from just a diagnostic tool of doing an angiogram to an intervention, and the change in intervention. Back in the day, we had 2 or 3 different balloons, and we used hair dryers in the lab and hole punches in the catheters to shape things. We had no equipment that was what was specific for what we did. So now, then there was the invent of stents, which reduced restenosis by a third because they eliminate elastic recoil. And then the next advance after that certainly was coating these stents with anti-cancer drugs that prevent scar tissue. So wow. People are getting one procedure, and that's lasting years and years, whereas before we'd do a balloon, we'd have to do another balloon, and again with stents, we'd have to radiate the inside of those stents. All that has gone away, and now with the new wires and technology, if you can get a 14/1000th of an inch wire in the artery, you can pretty much get a stent in there with very little effort on your part. It's amazing how technology has advanced in therapeutics.
You had me at hair dryers and hole punch.
I was just going to say, I'm never going to look at my hair dryer or a hole punch same way again.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Okay, so I'm going to circle back to one other question that was asked earlier. And Dr. Lipset, I believe you announced it, or we're kind of talking about it. We were talking about preventive, and we were talking about what people can be looking to do before they have some symptoms, and you guys were talking about the tests and stuff like that. But I want to give you guys, two doctors, an opportunity to speak to the audience one last time about something they can do. And I think we've hit on a lot of them that probably people would go, yeah, I've heard that. You know, not smoking and green leafy vegetables, as Duffy said, and some of the other ones that are quite common, and it doesn't take long to come across those. Is there anything in the list of top 10 that people might go, ooh, I didn't know about that, or might surprise? Is there anything that would be not as well known that people can be doing now before they come to see you that would help their heart health?
Yeah, so I'm going to plug for Gwinnett Magazine, page 55. There's actually some health tips there that I put in for this month. But
February 2019, right?
Yes.
So page 55.
Correct.
Gwinnett Magazine.
There you go. Go Google it.
So basically you should, you know, get at least 3 to 5 times a week of exercise, 30 to 60 minutes, whether it's brisk walking or anything more strenuous than that. You know, your daily activity at work doesn't count. They also recommend olive oil, you know, cooking with olive oil, pastas, the recommendations, which was a typo in the Gwinnett Magazine, but 3 to 4 tablespoons of olive oil a day will keep the doctor away. So I'd recommend that as well. And then try to get some almonds in your life and salmon in your life is would be my recommendations.
Those are good.
And then maybe once a week or every 2 weeks, find a spot that has a blood pressure cuff to take blood pressure readings at different times of the day under different circumstances. You get it in the supermarket, you go to any pharmacy, and just record your blood pressure and pulse at different times just to see where you fall.
And that is a big indicator, and I'm going to say this because I was at the eye doctor, and he took my blood pressure. My blood pressure was high, and I've never had high blood pressure. Yeah. And he said, is it time for you to go to your doctor? I said, yeah, it's a little bit early. I do. I go once a year. He said, go ahead and go once a year and ask them about it. So that is something that an eye doctor found and thought it was that important that I go to it.
But really, the readings at a doctor's office are probably the least valid because he's about to stick something in your eye, and I would think that might have an effect on your blood pressure.
Isn't that called the white coat syndrome?
Right.
Good to know.
We now call it situational hypertension since we don't always have a white coat on, but yes, that's the same thing.
Yeah, and so the best thing, have if you can, you said stop by if you're at a grocery store, if you're at the pharmacy, and then also get... It's not that expensive to have your own at home.
Well, and I'll give a shout out. Anytime you give blood to the Red Cross, they take your blood pressure. So
there you go.
It's always my mother-in-law made us promise as she was recovering from cancer that if we said, what can we do to honor you? And she said, give blood as often as you can. So that's a good one. So I think we've come to a good stopping point, don't you, Delphi?
I think we have. You gentlemen did a great job. I hope everyone goes ahead and Googles what you wrote in Gwinnett Magazine, and if you haven't, go get those baseline screenings. Is that also good to have the baseline before, because then you have an idea of where your heart is, and as you get older, where it's going.
Yeah, and like you said, you don't want to, you know, show up to your ophthalmologist. Shout out to the ophthalmologist. They're smarter than us. I'm married to one of them, but you know, you don't want to go to your ophthalmologist to find out that you have high blood pressure.
Right.
You want to have the screening done beforehand. That way you can kind of do preventive stuff.
I like it. So, Dr. Michael Lipsett, cardiologist at Eastside Heart and Vascular, Dr. Marcus Sims, cardiologist and cath lab director at Eastside Medical, and Eric Wheeler, administrative director of cardiovascular services at Eastside Medical Center. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having
us. Our pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Finally, let's leave you with one of our big sponsors. That's Love. What makes a Subaru? Love. Get big savings and enjoy our hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join our family today. Come and see the difference. Already a Subarist? Well, then follow Subaru of Gwinnett, the Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. Boy, I love a Subaru.
Absolutely. We want to remind everybody that Gwinnett Business Radio comes to you on BusinessRadioX.com. You can search for our show on that page. You can also listen to Gwinnett Business Radio on your favorite podcasting platform. Hey, if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever podcasting platform you're listening to, leave us a review. Also, check us out on Facebook and LinkedIn. We're always posting. There will be wonderful pictures on our media banner of this show and other shows. So, Duffy, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I couldn't resist. I'm just glad I resisted in the middle of the serious interview, but Dr. Sims said that we need to get more salmon in our life. Thank you. Thankfully, Mike Salmon.
Mike Salmon is there for us most weeks. Yes.
So, for my awesome co-host Duffy and for Trey back in the production studio, this is Stephen Julian. We'll see you next time on Gwinnett Business Radio.